Romans chapter 6 this morning. Good to be in God's house.
Amen.
Good singing from the choir. Yeah. Once they figured out what song they were singing, they did a real good job. Amen.
Amen.
Really did something for me. I love to hear the choir sing. I wish that during the congregations, the choir would remember that they could really help out the congregation, yes, do extra good. Amen. And we've been talking about that a little bit the last couple of weeks, trying to get some life into our congregational singing, and you did pretty good this morning. I was happy to hear that. But that choir could really help during the congregational singing, sing extra loud and try to motivate you, your brothers and sisters. Amen. Well, let's get on with the sermon this morning. I really don't want to take up too much time talking about other things because I believe the Lord has a message for you here out of Romans 6 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at that in just a minute. And I like to preach the gospel on Sunday, amen?
Amen?
I like to preach the gospel anytime. And I gave you a little challenge a couple of weeks back, I think, that if you was a preacher, I challenge you to preach the next 20 messages, to just preach a gospel message.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit of, you know, strange looks and some questions about that. How do you mean that? Well, I mean it just like I meant it, amen? I meant it just like I said it, to preach the gospel, the death, burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you could tie just about any subject in the Bible up with the gospel, amen? And you can certainly do that, and you can certainly, I think you can certainly agree with me that we were sent into all the world to preach the gospel, amen? Preach the gospel. And we've got into a place and time where I think everybody needs to show how many verses they've memorized, amen? And show how spiritual you are and how wise you are. We're going to talk about wisdom here just in a little bit, and there's nothing wrong with those things. And matter of fact, I'd rather you show me how many Bible verses you've memorized than how many LL Cool J songs you've memorized.
Yeah. Come on now.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Or George Jones, whatever your flavor is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, I know some of you's memorized some of them because you know every word when they come on down at the restaurant, amen?
Yeah.
When you're in the restaurant, you're Christian from the table up and you're worldly from the table down, amen? Amen. You ain't pretending like you're singing, but your foot's patting underneath the table, ain't it? Amen. That's the way the flesh is, amen? That's the way mine is. You might be more spiritual than me. I don't know. But I remember that stuff. That stuff, you know, you listen to it 900,000 times, you ought to remember something. And I know, you know, Brother Mike, you're telling a lot about yourself. Well, I'm just flesh, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yep. And I don't really want to say that I'm not ashamed to admit it. Sometimes I am ashamed to admit it, but I'm going to admit it anyway, because I'm tired of preachers pretending like they're not in the flesh, like everybody else is. And some of you won't admit that you are, but you are.
Yeah.
Amen. It don't show up necessarily in what you wear, and it don't show up necessarily in how you, you know, act around the church house and stuff like that. But it shows up at home when you, you know, can't have a peaceful moment and fussing with your wife and kids all the time. That shows, you know, how spiritual you are.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
The Bible says a man that's soon angry, he don't have any control of his spirit, so we know you ain't spiritual. That's true. How many of you angry just at the drop of a hat? You probably dropped the hat too, won't you?
Yep.
That's epidemic.
Yep.
People angry real fast. You're not spiritual, you're carnal, you're fleshly.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Well, I don't know how I got on that. That must have come down from the heavens. But that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning. I want to preach on dominion. I want to preach on some things in the Christian life that really ought to be a blessing to you. And it will be a blessing to you once you realize that it exists, because we do live in a day and time where everybody's trying to show how, you know, spiritual they are and all this kind of stuff. But I really know that in my flesh, I can do nothing. That's what Jesus said, and that's a true doctrine. In my flesh, I can do nothing.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be a dope dealer. You say, well, Brother Mike, you might not be a dope dealer. Yeah, but I'd be something else. I mean, I don't know what I'd be.
Yep.
I could be anything that's despicable.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, everything's despicable out in the open, but behind closed doors, we got a of this flesh has a way of justifying just about anything. And if it, the old saying is, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, you look at somebody else and say, well, how bad they've got it. How low have they fallen? But for the grace of God, that'd be me. And I could be in prison. I went to Trenton, New Jersey yesterday, on Friday, and never been to that place before. I thought Camden was the nice city and Trenton wasn't that bad, but I learned different. Amen. There's nothing like actually being there. Amen. And it wasn't nothing nice. And riding down through the main part of town, I saw this great big old prison. And I said, thank God I'm not in prison. Amen. Thank God. I know I was raised up with a bunch of outlaws, and all my uncles was in jail at one point in time or another, or pretty close to being in jail. And I know it could have been me. One of my uncles taught me how to steal cars when I was about 12 years old. He said, a friend of mine has, locked his keys in his car. And he said, I need you to drop me over here. I guess at this time I was about 16, but I want you to drop me over here. And I took him over there, and I was driving for him because he didn't have a license. And later on in life, I thought, well, why in the world if he's going to break all these other laws, why didn't he just drive himself? Amen. But at any rate, he said, we just need to stop over here, and I need to get this fella's keys out for him. And so he showed me how to get in. Then he said, well, I'll just take it to him. Well, next day I found out he stole that car, and then he was down in Tennessee, and then I didn't see him again for several years till the statute of limitations ran out. I guess so it was about 10 or 15 years later I saw him again, and then he was off just a little bit later than that, stole my grandmother's car. And went back to Tennessee and then ended up in Florida for another 10 years and then come back. I saw him once or twice again, and then I never seen him again. 2 or 3 years ago, they called from Miami, Florida, and said, I think we've got one of your relatives here, and would anybody like to come claim his body? And they had found him floating in one of those canals down there. I don't know if you know much about Florida, but they got these water canals everywhere, water everywhere down there. And a gator had chewed him up, and I don't know how he got in there or anything like that. But, boy, that's no life to live. That's no life to live. And I could go on and tell you story after story about the criminal activity and the foolishness and the deaths. And my grandfather was killed in a gunfight, and I had another cousin that was killed. I had a cousin out here in Louisiana a couple years ago, cut a girl up, dismembered her, and boy, I mean, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for the grace of God, it could have been me and it could have been you. Amen. You just don't know. That cousin of mine, he's in Angola prison. He'll be there for life. I grew up with him. He went to church with me. We went to the same church, and we listened to the same preaching. We listened to the same choir sing, and we sang the same hymns. We joined the Marine Corps at the same time, went in the same Marine Corps, got stationed at the same base. I say at the same time, he joined a year later than I did, but we both ended up stationed at Camp Lejeune. Camp Lejeune, he got caught stealing motorcycles, and then he got kicked out of the Marine Corps, and then he got caught messing with an underage female, and they charged him for that, and he refused to register for that, and he run to California, and when they got messed up in California, he run to Louisiana and just searching for pleasure for this old flesh. Him and his girlfriend went out and found this girl who was willing to go party with them. And they ended up killing that girl and cutting her up and throwing her in the Gulf of Mexico. But you can't hide evidence. The Bible says, be sure. Your sin will find you out. That little old girl's last name was Lockhart. You can go look it up on the internet. You think I'm kidding with you. That little old girl's name was Lockhart. They threw her out in the Gulf of Mexico, drove her over into Mississippi and threw her in the ocean. And God took that little current and washed it out to sea and brought it right back up and dumped it right back up on the shore where the police would find her, found her. A few videotapes later, they knew who had got her and who she was last seen with. And you don't know what it's like to look up on the news and see your flesh and blood accused of such terrible stuff as that. Especially, like I said, when he heard the same preaching, sung the same choir songs and the same gospel hymns and went to the same church with the same standards and the same ideas. And he didn't grow up in a liberal environment. You say, what are you talking about this morning? I'm talking about the grace of God.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the grace of God. Yeah. How is it that you're here this morning instead of in prison or out somewhere doing something else? I mean, it doesn't have to be anything extreme like that. I'm thankful that I'm here instead of just at home regretting something I done last night that I shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm here this morning instead of being hung over this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? I'm glad I'm here this morning instead of sitting around scratching my arms waiting for another fix of whatever somebody has prepared for you out there. You don't got to go deal with the dregs of life to be hooked on drugs. You can go see a doctor and get hooked on something like that anymore. Thank God for His grace. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Don't you ever experience aches and pains? Sure I do. Sure I do. But I don't want to go get mixed up with some drug-pushing doctor over it. Amen. I just, for the grace of God. Amen. I told Ruth a couple weeks ago, I said, boy, I tell you what, I think I've lost a feeling or something. My tooth hurts. And it hurt and hurt and hurt. And then my neck hurts and all this stuff put together. And I thought, man, I'm going to have to go to the dentist. No offense about dentistry or nothing like that. I don't like dentists. Amen. I hadn't been to the dentist since 1993. I just don't like dentists. Amen. I don't like people messing around in my mouth. If I go to the dentist, they put me to sleep. Amen. To give me something. Amen. Put me asleep. But I thought, man, I'm going to have to go to the dentist. This tooth hurts so much. And I thought I'd lost the feeling or something, but I couldn't find nothing missing back there. But the other day I was eating and about a quarter of my tooth come out. I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. I must have broke it. And it was in there broke, hurting the whole time. But since it come out, I hadn't felt an ounce of pain. I'm like, praise God. Amen. Amen. You say, well, why do you just put up with stuff? I don't know. I just think I deserve stuff sometimes. Amen.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but when I get hurt or in pain or something bad going on, I think, man, I deserve this. I deserve this. You say, well, I don't think you should look at things like that. Well, I don't know. Your self-esteem keeps you twisted up in fits, don't it? I mean, you think good of yourself, and when something happens to you, you think you don't deserve it, and it just drives you to bitterness and grief. I just put my head down and say, Lord, I reckon I deserve this. And before long, the Lord gives me some kind of relief. Now, I'm still in the flesh. Something else will hurt tomorrow, but I thank God for a few days of relief on this tooth, amen? But I just look at things that way. You say, why? Well, we're talking about grace this morning, verse number 14 in chapter 6, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That word dominion, that's a big word, dominion. You heard the word kingdom, K-I-N-G-D-O-M. That means king's dominion. They got a whole theme park about that down there in Virginia, don't they? You ever been there, King's Dominion? I used to go there when I was young enough to ride roller coasters. Amen, King's Dominion. Fun. My wife talked me into going with the youth group down in Georgia to, what was the name of that place? Wild Adventures. They had roller coasters there. And so I said, boy, I used to love roller coasters. I'll get on one of them things. I got in the very front. When I got off that thing, I said, I reckon my roller coaster days are over. Amen. I didn't like that too good. I went and rode the hobby horses, but bumper cars, that's more of my speed. But at any rate, King's Dominion. That means kingdom. Means king's dominion. It's the area in which a king has dominion. He's the boss. Once you step over the line that separates his kingdom from another kingdom, he don't have any authority there. He might have influence, but he don't have authority. Now, some people belong to God, but they're dwelling in another kingdom. And God just has influence, but not authority. A lot of people like that. A lot of people like that. But some people belong to God, and they try to live inside of God's kingdom. Now, we're dealing with the spirit, the kingdom of God, the spiritual things. That Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And if you're living a spiritual life and not a humanistic, fleshly life, then God has dominion over you. And the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. Have you ever thought about the word wisdom? That's the wise dominion. What that word means, wisdom. It's the wise dominion. You can live inside of that where wisdom has a rule over you. or you can live outside the boundaries, and maybe wisdom have an influence on you once in a while. You might do something smart, but the rest of the time, something else has dominion. Is there such a thing as a foolsdom?
Yeah.
Sure there is. Sure there is. I've been a resident of that country.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Haven't you? Well, I say it's time to move out.
Yeah.
Time to move out. You know what I'd like you to do this morning? I guess it's the theme of my message is to pack up and move out.
Yeah.
Amen? The Bible says if you're saved, sin shall not have dominion over you. You know what that means? It means you're free to leave. It's like some of these liberals that hate this country. Boy, I want you to go down to the nearest embassy and see what the line looks like of people trying to get out.
Yep.
America is such a terrible place.
Yep.
And why is people trying to get in?
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I don't know if logic offends you, but the places on earth where it's terrible to live, people are trying to get out. So all these Mexicans crossing the border. If I was Mexican, I'd cross the border too.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. He said, even if you had to do it illegally, sure.
Yeah.
You say why? Because it's better here than it is in Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm for folks coming. Just bring your tacos with you. Amen. And your salsa and all that stuff, leave your guacamole. That stuff looks nasty, don't it? I don't know. I don't know if you think like I do. But, hey, it's a better place, a good place. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're not really talking about physical places, but we're talking about spiritual places. You don't have to live in that junk.
Yeah.
You know how people get saved? The law shows up. The law shows up, and it shows you that sin is exceeding sinful. I want you to look down in verse number 21, I want to read you this verse. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. I don't know how you used to live, but do you remember when you was addicted to alcohol or beer or liquor or maybe marijuana or meth or pornography? Whatever it was you was addicted to, remember how you was ashamed and how it ruined your life and it caused problems between you and your wife? That's what this verse is saying. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? That stuff that you used to do, and maybe you're here, you're lost, and you're still doing those things. Ain't you tired of the problems and the troubles and the trials and the heartache and the fusses? Some of you married folks, ain't you tired of fussing all the time? It's not enough just to fuss about money, but fuss about what you wear and fuss about where you're going to eat and fuss about what little Johnny gets to do. And that stuff doesn't have to be a fuss.
Amen.
You could both pack up, say, well, I'm going to run her off. No, both of you pack up and move out of that spiritual place you've been living. I mean, it's not good spiritual, it's spiritual wickedness. Yeah. Move away from that junk.
Yeah.
Just move away from it because there's no good fruit from it.
No.
All you've got in your past is fusses and fights, and all you got in your future is divorce and hardship and anger and bitterness. And I'd hate to live my life in a way where all I could do was look back and say it's her fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's his fault. At some point in time, somebody's got to take the responsibility and say, hey, it might be her fault or it might be his fault, but I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix this. You know what would be a good thing in most churches? If you would just stop blaming somebody else for the little rift between you and just get up and hug their neck and say, hey, I'm sorry about that. I said this before, and I said it down at People's, and somebody said it right while I was preaching. Somebody said it out loud. They said, I can't do that. But I was telling them, hey, you know how to end an argument while you're fighting and fussing down at your house? Just look at whoever you're fussing with and say, you're right.
Yep.
You're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
Amen.
I said, well, I'd rather win the argument. Well, go in an argument then. If you're trying to get rid of the argument, just say, you're right. And I said that, and one woman said, boy, I couldn't do that. I said, shh. You're telling on yourself, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the way you get it done. Hey. Oh, you know, I just don't know if I can keep coming to church because I'm into it with so-and-so. Hey, just go hug their neck and say, let's forget this and go on. Let's just pretend it never happened. You know, there's something wrong when you're so offended that in your heart and mind you can't say, I can't forget it. Or when you have to say, I just can't forget that. I can't live unless they apologize. Suppose the Lord Jesus Christ had said, you know, it's all their fault. The very act of hanging on the cross said, I'm taking your blame for you. And I don't want to hear how spiritual you are or how much you know about your Bible or how many facts you understand or how many verses you've memorized until you get the attitude down deep in your heart that, hey, I know it's your fault, but I'm going to be the one to fix it. Because that's exactly the attitude that the Lord Jesus Christ had. Before one person ever said they were sorry, Jesus died on the cross. There is a time for reconciliation. There is a time for repentance. There is a time for asking forgiveness. I'm not saying that there isn't. Amen. But what I'm saying is that the remedy has to start with somebody saying, hey, I'll be the one to make it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you didn't know, Jesus was the innocent party.
Yeah.
Jesus was the offended party.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll be the one to make it right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Because he gave him thousands of years to prove that the offenders couldn't do nothing. You know what offenders can do? They can offend. That's all they can do. That's why they go ahead and label them thieves. I know we live in a day and age where we don't like labels, but it is what it is. You steal stuff, you are a thief.
Yes,
if you have a drinking problem, it's not a disease. You are a drunkard.
Yeah.
Amen. And somebody has already died on the cross to take you away from that drunken condition, to take you away from that addicted condition, to take you away from that bitter condition.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about sin will not have dominion over you. You're free. You're free. I used to go over to this man's house, his wife come to our church and folks, and he would never come. He would never come. He was a mason. He was a self-made man. He was, just going to do things his way. But I always thought about this, and he was kind of the same way. He had a little bird in there, and he loved that little bird. His name was Pete. And he left the cage open on the bird cage, and that bird would just sit in there most of the time, hardly ever would come out. And if you had a visitor come over, he'd get in there, he wouldn't come out, wouldn't fly around or nothing. He'd just stay in that cage. The door was open, but he would just stay in the cage. Just stay in the cage. He did come out one time, landed right on top of my bald head. About scared the devil out of me because at that time I didn't know the bird was even there. First visit. That bird flew over there and landed right on my head. I went, ugh! He said, don't hit my bird. I was like, don't land on my head. No roost. It might look like a bright landing spot, but it ain't for no birds, amen? But most of the time that old bird would stay in that cage, but the door was open. How many of you ever heard that verse that said, the truth shall set you free? No, you ain't never heard that verse one time in the world. That ain't what the verse says. The verse says the truth will make you free. It'll make you free. The door's open. You can go anytime. You can quit letting bitterness rule you anytime. You can get through those addictions anytime. You say, why? Because I believe the Lord. There is certainly a future advantage of being saved. You're going to heaven. You're going to get a new body. Your vile body be made like to his glorious body. But one of the great truths, we emphasize our vile body be made like unto his glorious body. And we emphasize that glorious body part so much that we forget about we do dwell in a vile body. We dwell in a vile body. But the thing about that is that we've been made free from the dominion of the curse of the law and the dominion of sin is that we're free to live after the Spirit now. He says, what fruit had you then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Said that now you can live in such a way that it'll produce holiness in your life. The next verse says the wages of sin is death. That's a truth. It's a truth in the New Testament as well as the Old. The Old Testament says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Old Testament says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's a truth. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not just talking about living forever. It's talking about life. Before you were saved, you had death and everything associated with it. You know what's connected to death? Grief. That's why you had so much of it. You know what's connected to death? Sorrow. You know what I know you've probably had services like that, and I understand, everybody's connected with this. But one thing I certainly don't like is to go to a funeral and have somebody say, now we're going to celebrate the life of, I don't like that. You say, why? Because the Bible says there's a time to mourn. Yes, sir. A lot of people trying to celebrate when they ought to go ahead and mourn. Did you know it's okay to mourn?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I think as a minister, you ought to leave people alone in that and let them mourn. The Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of mirth. He said after that, the heart's made better. So I see all these people all the time trying to make parties out of it, and it's a time of celebration. No, it's a time of mourning. But see, that's connected with death. It's connected with death. And that's why sinners have so much of it. They're connected to it. Why always, I'm always sorry and I'm always sad and I must need to go to a psychologist. No, you're just living life. Sin has dominion over you. But you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's not mourning. It's not grief. You know what one of the greatest messages that Jesus ever preached was? It's found in John chapter 14. I wish folks would get a hold of it. He says this. It's a great message. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
You believe in God?
Amen.
Think about how profound that is. Why are you so miserable believing in Jesus? Isn't that a good question?
Yeah.
When the answer is, you don't have to be. The door's open.
Amen.
You can go.
Yeah.
Back up your bag. Say, hey, I'm leaving here today. Where are you going? I think I'll go down to Happyville.
Amen.
So what you talking about? Blessed.
Yeah.
Right? That means happy.
Yeah.
Move over to Matthew chapter 5. Well, dispensationally, brother, listen, right now at this moment, I don't give a rip about your dispensationalism. When the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's talking to some future time. Listen, you know what the Bible says? Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yeah.
Just humble yourself and say, boy, if it wasn't for the grace of God, things would be a whole lot worse than it is right now.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So I just don't like to say words like that. No, but you don't mind blankety blank this and blankety blank that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'm saved, Brother Mike. So bad stuff happens. Oh, yeah, I deserve that. And I'm not going to pretend it ain't bad. Oh, bad. This is bad. What I'm going through right now, this is terrible. But at the same time, I can say, boy, I deserve a lot worse than this. Oh, and I can be happy in that. I can be glad in that. Boy, God hadn't given me what I deserved. And you can just get Bible verse after Bible verse about that. It's of his mercies that we're not consumed. Boy, you'd be going down to my wake if it wasn't for the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Things would be a lot worse. Certainly could. That'd improve your disposition. Amen. It certainly can. You say, why? Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And like I say it again, it doesn't just mean going to heaven when you die. Eternal life is not just going to heaven when you die. I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm alive right now.
Yeah.
I've been alive since the day I got saved, and I'll be alive forevermore. Yep. Forevermore. Amen. Amen. Forevermore. I want you to look with me one more place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That verse of scripture we just read back there, it said, you're not under law, but under grace. I want you to think about that for a minute. You're not under law, you're under grace. If it was the law that you was under, boy, you'd have hell to pay.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in any slang kind of bravado way. I mean that if you were under the law, you'd have hell to pay. Because
yeah.
God would hold you accountable for the things written in the law, and he'd send you to hell for it.
Yeah.
Amen. But we're not under law, we're under grace. Amen. Well, look what it says here. Well, if we're not under the law, what rules our lives? Well, let's look. It ought to be that wise dominion. But let's look and see what it is exactly. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What's that word constrain means? That word constrain is the same word you might use if you was put in handcuffs.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
If you was put in a jail cell and the door was shut, but see, you can be free and constrained at the same time.
Yeah.
I know you have to use the strict sense of the word about being imprisoned or shackled or handcuffed to define the word constrained, but you can be set free and be constrained. It's the difference between liberty and freedom. Freedom, you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Right.
Liberty. See, in the Marine Corps, we didn't have free. We didn't have freedom. They gave us liberty.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, you got liberty. You know, in the Navy, you got liberty. I don't know what they have in the Army, but I imagine it's the same thing. You don't have freedom. You got liberty.
Yep.
Go do anything you want to. But they got this little thing on the board that's got a circle. It's a 300-mile radius. You don't go outside that circle. You ain't on leave. You're on liberty. And you can't just go out and do whatever you want to. You got to act like a Marine when you're out in town.
Yep.
And you got to wear certain things. See, it's not freedom, it's liberty. But there's nobody standing over your shoulder going, hey, you're not wearing the right stuff.
Yep.
It's liberty. You're supposed to have enough honor and integrity
yep.
to follow the rules. Of course, there's a bunch of blockheads, and the Marines ain't nothing like the church is supposed to be.
No.
Does that make sense to anybody else?
Yep.
I mean, hey, listen, got a 300-mile radius, but I only live an hour past beyond, stationed in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. I'm from Mount Airy, North Carolina. Mount Airy, North Carolina was only about an hour beyond the 300-mile limit. I'm going home.
Yeah.
You say, what are you? I'm a sinner and a transgressor. Just like a bunch of Baptists, amen?
Yep.
Now, you know, I know Christians ain't supposed to do this, but there's nobody looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
You mean the preacher can't see it? And the deacons can't see it, and the people at church can't see it.
Yeah.
Mm, but you passed that 300-mile mark, didn't you? You all the way in Mayberry. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't know it, but I'm from the same town as Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
That liberal Andy Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Well, I better not get off of that subject. I was going to talk about Christians putting Andy Griffith in their Sunday school class, Mayberry Principles.
Yeah.
Have y'all heard of that? They got Sunday school material now called Mayberry Principles.
Right.
I want to give you a Mayberry challenge. Anybody like Andy Griffith's show besides me?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pay attention next time you watch it. He lies in every program. He's a liar.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why some of us like it so much, don't we?
Yeah.
Every man's a liar.
Yeah.
Amen. We identify with him, don't we? But listen, that liberty, Christians have liberty. You say, what's it based on? It's not based on somebody's, rules or regulations. It's based on the love of Christ. One of these days, some of you men are going to see how much your wife loves you and how much she does for you, and your heart's going to break, and you're going to say, man, I'm going to be better to her. I don't know how soon that'll be, but that's going to happen. One of these days, you ladies complaining about your husband, you're going to see that, hey, he goes to work and he comes home every day and he does what he can to provide all the stuff you got and all this. I don't know how much you help or what. One of these days, you're going to see that he really is a man that loves you and cares for you and doing his best for you. And it's going to change your mindset towards him. And you'll be thankful for him instead of nagging him.
Yeah.
And you'll be thankful for her instead of nagging her. Yeah. Amen.
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 Devils, I'll say amen for you if you ain't going to say it.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. One of these days you're going to realize how much love it took to crawl up on the cross and take your sins on his shoulders.
Yeah, that's good.
And boy, you'll carry your Bible more proudly after that. And you'll memorize more verses after that. And you'll wear the right stuff. And you'll be modest. And you'll do the things that you ought to do. You say, why? Because the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them. Free men, living for Christ, and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, your attitude, your outlook, your future, your past, your activities, your loves, your affections, all things are become new. Has that been your experience with Christ? If not, shouldn't that be your experience with Christ? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You come do business with God if God dealt with your heart this morning. Lord, we do thank you for how good you've been to us. Thank you for your grace, your mercy in our lives. God, I recognize and realize, God, that there are some things that have to be said and some things that have to be emphasized when it comes to standards and different things like that. But God, one thing that must be emphasized more and more is that we are saved by grace, not by works. Lord, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. We shouldn't sin because we're under grace. But Lord, we also ought to recognize, every one of us, that the love of Christ constrains us. And the great love that you had for us can do great works in our own hearts and lives, can lead us to be better men and better women. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us with it. In Jesus' name, I ask these things.